a safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio. This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken again, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark. Cradle My Heart with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Good evening, and thank you so much for making Cradle My Heart Radio part of your weekend. We're glad that you have done so, and we're here for you. And would love to just open up the phone lines right away in case you want to call and say hi and check in at 1-800-811-3003. We announced earlier this week on our Faith Radio affiliates that Cradle My Heart is completing production as of the end of this month. And it seems a little bit sudden, but if you have been following the story, you know that as a grandmother, we now have a family member. I now have a family member who has special needs, my grandson, Jonas. And so family first, I'm going to be commuting to help with his care for my daughter and her family. Very unusual that he would be a twin with Down syndrome, and his brother, Alvin, is a typical child. And then they have an older sister, Lucy, who is 23 months old right now. They were born in February, or about a month early. And so we're busy. I've already got my sleeves rolled. And it just seemed a proper moment for me to step away from Cradle My Heart. So if you want to call and talk about that, or if you have questions about that, 1-800-811-3003 is our number. But we are here live tonight on this 8th of April, and we will also be here live Sunday night for the next couple of weeks with a couple of really good guests. So I hope that you'll stick with us until we get our completion complete, if so to speak. And, of course, you can always get our program notes at cradlemyheart.org. Now to our guest for tonight, and I am really excited to introduce you to Rhonda. Rhonda de la Mornier is a speaker, writer, and a Bible study teacher, and she's got a very open heart to share her story and how she has interacted with the Lord over the decision to publicly share her story. Rhonda, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Thank you, Kim. I'm very happy to be here.
So you, as a Bible study teacher, I always think this is so interesting what God does for us when we're teaching his word to others. It seems that he grows our roots much, much deeper at the same time. It seems like that was kind of the pattern for you as well.
Yes, I was teaching a women's class at Sagemont Church, and the thought of sharing I had three abortions, so the thought of sharing that ever publicly was something that I never, ever intended to do. But he began prompting me, and it was something that just, I knew it was him, and he used the women in the class to actually confirm that, and it was something that I knew I had to do, and kind of like Lazarus coming out of the tomb, Jesus said, unbind him and let him go. There was an unbinding that took place. And while I thought that I was going to be the one teaching the women, God used many of the women I was teaching to actually unbind me and set me free from a lot of my past that I had been through.
Mm. So let's go back there, if we may, and tell us about that background. Well, first of all, one of the things that I hear repeatedly from people who share their stories with me, Rhonda, is that, well, Kim, you weren't a believer when you had your abortion. Although I would have told you at the time I was a Christian, but I didn't comprehend the cross. And I certainly had not yielded my heart to Jesus as Lord. So women will tell me, but I had. I have no excuse. I was a Christian when I had that abortion. Well, what was the state of your faith as the starting point for your story?
Well, I came from a background that I was unchurched, but I kind of always knew Jesus. I always felt his presence, even as a child. And I had a lot of abuse happen in my background. And I really do believe that, as the Lord says in his word, that he is close to the brokenhearted. And for children, even if maybe their parents aren't going to church all the time, that he's very near to us. And I felt his nearness. And so I knew when I made that choice that I was going against him. And I felt it. I knew that it was wrong when I did it. And I, when I had my first one, and that's the one that truly impacted me the most, because I don't know about other women. I can only speak about my own heart, but I know that for me, that first one was traumatized me. And, my heart kind of began to get hardened after that. And, that's how I was able to have two more after that. And so, but as far as where I was spiritually when I had the abortions, I would say that I knew who Jesus was. I had also been to a Christian camp when I was 17, where I definitely felt him calling me, and I would think that I had received him at that camp. But my choices after that, I really had fallen away. So I would agree, like you, that I didn't understand what the cross was until a little bit later on in my life. Until around the age of 30.
Right. And I think that's probably pretty typical, too. I mean, Christ calls us to faith like a child. And so he honors, of course, all of our responses to the gift of faith that happens when the Holy Spirit moves in our hearts. But when we don't have the maturity to act out Christian faith, and certainly I don't think many of us do at 17, that's when, life happens to us. So what were the circumstances of that first abortion that was so traumatic, Rhonda?
My first abortion, it was so traumatic because I had actually not intended on having an abortion. I was in college, and I was in a relationship, and I was actually living with the guy that the father of the baby, and it turns out that he had stolen my identity, and I didn't know about this. And when I found out about it, my friends from college convinced me that there's no way you can have this baby now. Like, you don't have anyone to help you take care of this child. But the other thing that had happened is I had already seen an ultrasound. I had been to two appointments where I'd seen the ultrasound of this child, and there was already a bond there. And it was already, although it was still a first trimester abortion, it was very close to the second trimester. And I had bonded. I felt like I had bonded with this child. And so I would have dreams after the abortion. I knew in my heart, just as many mothers do when they're pregnant, that they know, maybe the sex of the baby or things about their baby. And I just knew this baby was a girl. And so after I had the abortion, I would have nightmares for years about a little baby girl that I would put in a clothes, like a chest or drawer, and just shut her in there. And I would hear her crying, and I would just ignore it. And I had that dream for many, many years. And it was really traumatizing to me. It was something that I never, in my heart, I always tried to escape.
Rhonda, so did you feel that you were coerced when you actually had the abortion? You say that you were bonded. You had seen an ultrasound. It was a wanted pregnancy, it sounds like, for you.
I would not call it coerced, but I would say I was definitely peer pressured. And many of my girlfriends in college had already had abortions, and it was easy for them to convince me that that was what I should do. And it was definitely a decision that I could have gone either way. But I also had a lot of fear about how I would take care of this child on my own.
Sure.
And so
I think it's important for us, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I think it's important for
That's
us
okay.
to say, for those who have not yet found their healing after abortion who may be listening tonight, I think it's really important for us to say that, you know, when a crisis of this magnitude occurs, okay, as you say, you've bonded. You know that there's another life involved here. You know, you don't know what you're going to do. Did you know at that point that your boyfriend was stealing your identity? Did you know that he was?
Yes, I definitely did. And that's when my friends were able to, that's when they got involved and told me.
You can't be in this relationship, so you're going to be on your own. And so now it really is a crisis of what are you going to do going forward. When a crisis like that happens, you know, we hear about fight or flight, but there's a third reaction that many of us have, which is to freeze. And, you know, so in being frozen, that's when the peer pressure, that's when problem solving happens that doesn't, you know, that doesn't engage all of our moral reasoning. It doesn't engage our whole lives. It just is like we just panic and need to fix that problem. And then, as you say, the trauma can just be kind of frozen in place. I know that for myself, and I'm not a mental health professional, but I've talked with so many people, and I am sort of a student of the heart, if you will, and I am a student of God's word. And human nature, of course, is unchanging. And I know for my part, there was this reaction that, okay, I'm not going to think about this because this is too difficult emotionally. I'm just going to check out and get through it. Well, guess what? You can't just flip a switch and have your emotional life become healthy the following day, year, month, you know, et cetera. And so, yes, we do get frozen in that traumatic memory. We're speaking with Rhonda de la Monnier, and she's graciously opened her heart to share very tender moments about her past, but also the victory that she's found in Jesus Christ, which is what we're going to discuss after a short break. Please stay with us, and our phones are open if you'd like to join our conversation. 1-800-811-3003 is our number. Please join us here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
We are live this April 8th, and our phones are open at 1-800-811-3003. And our guest is Rhonda de la Monnier, who has her master's in counseling from University of Houston at Clear Lake. She was a school counselor until 2014 when she entered full-time Bible study, writing, and speaking. Her study, Becoming You, helps women to understand this tension that we sometimes feel between knowing Jesus and yet experiencing losses and what can feel like unsurmountable obstacles. And, you know, Rhonda, as a certified Christian counselor as well as a trauma specialist, you've led many women through healing from abortion as well as childhood sexual abuse. And I know that what you've described of your own story, that you had a very traumatic experience that then hardened your heart for more abortions which followed. This is a very common experience. How do you help someone who it comes to you wanting to work through that and wanting to overcome a pattern like that that they see in their own lives?
The first thing that I have to trust is that God is working in their lives. And one thing that myself and the other, there's a few of us that work with, usually we always work in a team. We notice that in situations from trauma like that, that the Lord has definitely worked in this person's life before they're willing to come forward with help, and He's usually drawn them. And so we're really just kind of His hands and feet. He is the shepherd through their healing, and we have to stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit and knowing exactly where He's working. And a big part of that is just listening, really, really listening to see where someone's at and kind of allowing Jesus to meet them where they're at and walking them through and to where He is and then being part of that process. because a lot of times what people really, really need is the experience of the presence of Christ with them as they go back into their greatest fear. And that's something that's the difference that makes the difference in healing. It's not a magic formula. It's the presence of God that brings light into that place and that redeems it and makes it a whole new thing that they don't have to be fearful of anymore, because his perfect love really does come and set you free.
Mm. And did you go through a formal abortion recovery Bible study or retreat or a healing
yes.
group of any kind?
I went through, when I personally went through my healing, I went through a class called Her Choice to Heal. And then a class that we used to help other women is called Surrendering the Secret. And so and they're both wonderful resources that we've used to help women walk through that time of recovery and healing. And they've been very helpful. So there is an element of organization to it, but you kind of have to go where the women are at.
Sure, sure. Well,
there's
no.
a lot of... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to ask that question because I think it's an encouragement to women. You know, you've described a very personal, supernatural experience out of your relationship mm-hmm. with the Lord. And I think it's really important that everyone understand what you said about how the Spirit will move in someone's heart before she even dares to seek out her healing. You know,
right.
And so that we are merely facilitating what God is already doing in a woman's life. But I think it's really important, and I stress this with so many people who will share their story, then they feel better, you know, because the isolation seems like it might be over. But no, you really need to go and experience the love and fellowship of other women and other people
right.
who've been healed, and hear their stories and hear how, although the pressures and circumstances may have been very different, we all still share the common need for God's redeeming grace in it. And I know
right.
that I want to ask you too about, are you offering Surrendering the Secret at your church? This is a real tension and something that I have a lot of conversations
yes,
with people about.
Is...
My church doesn't get it. My pastor won't preach on it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to do any bashing here, but it's like, how did you accomplish
no.
that?
Well, my church actually used to provide a class like that, and that's when I was able to actually go through it. There was a very short window where it was available at our church, and there's actually so few women that come forward. It's very, because of the stigma, which I believe if it were in churches, the stigma wouldn't be as prevalent as it is, or if it were talked about more in churches, which is so, I'm so thankful that you're doing this and opening the door for these kind of conversations so that the stigma could be lessened. But it's just really difficult because you were just mentioning about the isolation, and women do feel isolated. And when they don't have a place to come with other women, and they're so scared to even tell other women that that's part of their history. But at our church, we do not have a place like that. And my church that Sagemont, the church where I went through recovery, we're looking into restarting a class like that for women, because there are more women that are starting to express a desire for a class like that. So we're trying to get one started.
And you know, with the way that I positioned the preview of our interview, Rhonda, for people not familiar with your ministry or maybe not even with mine on social media, is to say, you know, abortion recovery facilitates ministry. I know for a lot of years, I had this, you know, growing faith in Christ. I didn't come to Christ until I was 38. And so a lot of years I was very much, you know, very full of zeal and wanting to serve and wanting to step out and wanting to share my story. But I wasn't healed. I hadn't recovered. And I was terrified that people would find out the truth. And here you and I are both examples of how mm-hmm. God can take that worst mistake for his greatest glory. And I want you to say a little bit more about overcoming that fear of serving in ministry and stepping into the leadership role that God has for you despite whatever has happened in your past.
Well, it's kind of funny the way Jesus works, because he began calling. When I first stepped into leadership in the church, I never felt called to serve women. I've always been a little afraid of women, and I used to be. Then I stepped into children's ministry because I worked in the schools and I felt comfortable with children. And so, but then I would go with the older kids. And when I got to about the fifth or sixth graders, he was saying, "I want you to teach women." And I was terrified, but I knew he was calling me to that. And so I began, that's when I started teaching the class at our church, Pink Armor, and fell in love with women. I just fell absolutely in love with all the women that I served there. And I no longer was afraid of them. I could not wait to be around them. It was like this new discovery about myself that I never knew existed. And it definitely felt like that was my calling. But the thing is that I thought that when the Lord calls you to be a teacher and a leader, that you have to act like you have it all together. And so you have to be a really good Bible study. You have to be a really good mom, a really good wife, and all of these things. So I was exhausting myself trying to do that. And it wasn't long into it that Jesus started showing me, like he started allowing me to go through this time of healing, not only from the abortions, but through my sexual abuse as a child that I went through. That started coinciding with the exact same time I was teaching. And so I became completely undone during the same time I was leading these women. So it was kind of an oxymoron because I was trying to hold it together, but I couldn't because I was totally broken at the same time. And I began to realize what he really, really wants is he wants our brokenness. He just wants us to be real in his presence. And that's really what people want to see, and that's what they respond to. And one of my favorite verses is in Psalm 51, where it says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, and a broken and contrite heart God will not despise." And that's exactly what he came for, that if people are going to see the truth of who he is in us, that we have to be broken, and we have to be willing to trade, to when we talk about trading our ashes in for a crown of beauty, people want to see what that looks like so that they can see who Jesus really is and what the reality of what he really did. So I began to understand that what he really wanted was for the women in my class to see the reality of who Jesus was in me. And the only way they could do that is if I shared my brokenness with them and said, "Look, this is who I was, and this is who I am now because of the love of Jesus and because of the truth and the light of Jesus." And that's when the power of the gospel became alive in me and also came alive in them.
Wow, that is so encouraging, because that is what faith looks like. We don't know how people are going to respond when we're staking everything on God's love and God's call, but he's so faithful. And it's such a beautiful story of redemption. Rhonda, thank you for being with us. Becoming You is Rhonda's website, and we have it linked at cradlemyheart.org, and you can read about her study there and find her videos and more about her ministry. And we just really appreciate you reaching out to share your story with us, Rhonda. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Rhonda de la Mornier, and if you want to talk about this a little bit more, our phones are open for the next half hour now at 1-800-811-3003. 1-800-811-3003 is our number. We're live here this April 8th, 2018. We'll also talk in the coming segment about a piece that I wrote that was published in the Christian Post this week about the Bible Belt Abortion Storytelling Tour, right? The Bible Belt Abortion Storytelling Tour. You heard our guest Rhonda talk about female peer pressure to accept abortion as normal. Yeah, this is how far it's gone. And we'll talk about that. And I'd love to hear your reaction to that, too. So stay with us. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll-free at 800-811-3003.
Thanks so much for listening, and I appreciate the fact that when someone joins us like Rhonda, if you've been listening since the top of the hour, it can be shocking to hear someone say, I had three abortions. The first was traumatic, and the other two just hardened my heart. And for her to just come out and say that. You know, if you've had an abortion and you've not shared it with even the people close to you, that can seem like something that would be impossible for you to do. And I want you to know that I was there at one time in my life. I could never have considered being public. And there was part of me for years that said, why do I need to? It's just too personal. It's just too awful. I don't ever want to share that. I certainly don't want my children to know about this. I don't want people close to me to know about this. It's the worst chapter of my life. And yet when God said, please to tell the truth and tell of his love for everybody involved in abortion, suddenly everything was on a very different footing. And this is the thing that I want you to see. If you've been silenced, if you've been isolated, if you are feeling ashamed, if you feel just so much pain over an abortion experience or more than one, as Rhonda's story exhibits, I think the simplest thing that I could share with you would be to start thinking about Jesus, to start thinking about who he is, what his ministry personality was really like, how he personally dealt with people. Particularly people who were broken, as Rhonda said, people who needed a savior, people who were needy. Think about how Jesus dealt with them, and think about how Jesus dealt with the contrite, as Rhonda said from Psalm 51. Start putting your focus on him, taking it off of what you did, who you were, and what happened, or even what happened to you, and start thinking about him. Open your Bible, read the Gospels, read about his interactions with people, begin to believe that he loves you just as much as each of those individuals that he interacted with. You know, when someone shares a story with me about something horrible happening to them along with an abortion decision that they made, I mean, can you imagine the person you've entrusted your heart to steals your identity and now you're pregnant and this person is involved? I mean, can you imagine? But it's really important, again, for us to see that Jesus came not only to take away the sins that we've committed, but all of the sins, to take away the sins that have been committed against us as well. Wow, what a promise. And what healing is on the other side of that when we believe. And when we submit to that love, that's the thing that I would say. If God is calling you to reach out and to risk looking for an abortion support, abortion recovery support, CradleMyHeart.org has a beautiful resource page there that will connect you with all kinds of healing groups, whether it would be something that meets weekly for a Bible study or a retreat. There are so many formats, one that will fit with your lifestyle and your schedule. Email me, kim@cradlemyheart.org, and I'll help you find one because it exists. And I'm so grateful for the pregnancy help community that has had the vision to understand that preventing abortion also means helping those who have had one, who had been hurt by abortion, to heal. So I would just encourage you, if God is drawing you in that direction, please take that step and don't delay any longer. Say yes. God will honor that. And you're going to find something really beautiful on the other side of it. I want to talk with you about normalizing abortion because, you know, that's what Rhonda's friends at college tried to do. They'd had abortions. And they said, this is what you have to do. This guy, you know, flaked out on you. This guy abused your reputation. He betrayed you. You have to have an abortion in order for your life to go forward. That's one way that our culture tries to normalize abortion. But there are some women who have taken it even farther and who are shouting abortions, and it's nothing new. This has been around for a couple of years now, 3 years probably going on, the Shout Your Abortion campaign. And Amelia Bono was one of the founders of that, and she's still at it. I mean, last month she started in New Orleans. She kicked off a tour called the Bible Belt Abortion Storytelling Tour, just in case you didn't get that she's anti-Christian. She's going to the Bible Belt for abortion storytelling. And, of course, it's not stories like mine. It's not stories like Rhonda's, where trauma and then a hardened heart mean that we feel disqualified from leadership and using our gifts and talents in God's kingdom. That's not a happy ending. That's not a normal trajectory for a woman who becomes pregnant. It's just not. I mean, as I was listening to Rhonda's story, I was thinking, what if the women around her had nurtured her instead of neutering her? And I know that may sound shocking to you, but after all, weren't we meant to bear children? Weren't we made to bear children? I'm not saying that that's the only way to be a woman, but when a pregnancy occurs, how many of us would have a very different story today had the women around us nurtured us instead of suggesting that we needed to neuter ourselves in order to have a good life? We needed to be more like men to have success. 1-800-811-3003. I mean, what do you think about that idea? Have I taken that too far? 1-800-811-3003. So these women at Shout Your Abortion have some merch to go along with their campaign. They have T-shirts, and the T-shirts say things like, abortion is freedom. Abortion is normal. There's one that says, everyone knows I had an abortion. And there's another that says, abortion is pro-life. Like, why don't you just put your thumbs in your ears and wave your fingers and say, la, 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 because that is not a rational statement, okay? Although I have heard pro-choice advocates, abortion rights advocates say, yes, I chose life. I chose my own life. Which at least that's, I mean, intellectually honest. I don't know if they'd be intellectually honest enough to say, I chose my own life over the life of my defenseless child. But this is what I want us to think through together, whether or not these assertions hold water. Because there are many mainline Christians who are pro-choice, and many denominations are officially pro-choice, and they would have no problem with these slogans. They would say that, you know, a woman's life and a woman's future is worth more than the life of an unborn child, even though that's really not defensible morally, logically, medically, philosophically. But they would still hold to that opinion. But does that really add up? Do these statements made about abortion beg the question by assuming that abortion doesn't involve taking an innocent human life? I mean, if there's no other life involved, then okay, abortion is freedom, freedom from a pregnancy. If there's no other life involved, well, abortion is normal because you're just practicing late birth control, if you will. You didn't want to get pregnant. You didn't intend to get pregnant, so you aren't pregnant. Abortion is normal. But if you're assuming that there's not another human life involved, these things add up. But that assumption is incorrect. It's incorrect factually. I mean, over 20 embryology textbooks agree that from conception forward, the embryo is a distinct, living, and whole human being. There's no controversy about when life begins scientifically. Medically, that question, I mean, there may be a gray area as to how long the process of conception occurs. It may take, may unfold over several days, you know, and some are going to split hairs and say implantation is the moment rather than conception, but splitting those hairs into the, you know, first 72 hours of a pregnancy is so far afield of what's happening at 10, 12 weeks when most women are having their abortions that that's a separate discussion for a different day. in 98% of the cases where abortion is being considered, science agrees that life begins at conception. So there's a philosophical question we have to answer as to when that human life begins to have value. And saying abortion is normal, abortion is freeing, abortion is life-giving, all rest on this assumption that the unborn are not human beings. And again, that's something that cannot be defended in terms of the scientific evidence that we have. One of the ways that I've learned to have conversations with people about this, and people who make these assertions in their conversations, is to say, well, you know, would the same be true if we were talking about a toddler? Would abortion be freeing if we were talking about terminating the life of a toddler? You know, would abortion be normal if instead of terminating a child before their birth, we were talking about terminating a toddler to solve the problems that a woman is facing, that, oh, her partner betrayed her with identity theft. Oh, she's poor. Oh, her education is at risk. Would we say that it's acceptable to take the life of a toddler because of those life circumstances? And I would hope we would say, of course not. You know, I studied applied bioethics with Scott Klusendorf of Life Training Institute, and this communication skill was developed by apologist Greg Kokel, this called trotting out a toddler. And that rests on the correct assumption that there's no morally significant difference between the fetus in the womb and the toddler they will later grow to be, which could justify killing the fetus but not the toddler. So there's a philosophical exercise that people, if they're intellectually honest, they'll have to agree that, well, it's morally indefensible to think about killing toddlers to solve our problems. And this is the test, right? Instead of abortion is normal, picture a t-shirt that reads, killing toddlers is normal. Oh my goodness, I really hope it never gets there. We're almost shockproof in our culture right now. But instead of, everyone knows I had an abortion, how about she wears the shirt that says, everyone knows I killed a toddler? Or swap, abortion is pro-life with killing toddlers is pro-life. It really advanced my interests. Killing toddlers is freedom. I'm free from all responsibility now. I mean, the exercise exposes not only the moral bankruptcy of abortion, but also, I think, the selfishness at the heart of the messaging from Shout Your Abortion. It's a very different attitude of the heart to say, I was in a desperate circumstance and I made a choice that was a fatal mistake, than to say, my life was worth it. And I don't even care if it was another human being, because many of those women may go there as well. Many abortion rights defenders now are saying that. You know, I don't need a reason, on demand, without apology. My life is worth more than the life of an unborn child. There's an effort underneath all of this by Amelia Bono and her ilk to remove shame, to take away the stigma. And Rhonda talked about the stigma, even in church, and how difficult it is to overcome that shame. When we come back from a short break, I want to talk about how shame can be a good thing. Shame can teach us about what's right and what's wrong. And shame can help us to understand our need to have our sin taken away, and can point us to the remedy available to each one of us right now, today. Stay with us and we'll continue. And our phones are open, 1-800-811-3003, Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.